Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Short Stuff. I'm Josh, there's Chuck, there's Jerry. And like I said, this is Short Stuff. So let's get to it about James K. Polk.
That's
let's
right.
Let's get to it.
James K. Polk, 11th President of the United States, former Governor of Tennessee, mm-hmm. former Speaker of the House and House Representative of the state of Tennessee, mm-hmm. Former member of the Senate, or was he? He clerked for the Senate.
He did clerk for the Senate. That's really where he got his start, which is pretty impressive because he was still in law school, I think. But he made such a name for himself that they basically said, "Come on, as the Tennessee State Senate mascot, buddy, and we're gonna raise you up from there."
Yeah. So Polk was born in North Carolina, although he, I think people in Tennessee have a lot of respect and reverence for him. But he was born in North Carolina, or North Kakalaki, as we call it. And when he was 10, they moved to Tennessee. What this article calls the Tennessee frontier.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was at the time.
Sure. Why not?
If you were a white European settler,
I
sure.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And his dad, Samuel Polk.
His paw, Chuck. We're talking Tennessee.
Oh, that's right. His paw. Uh-huh. He built a two-story house in 1816 in Columbia. And that's where James lived for a while as a young adult. And it now serves as the James K. Polk Museum, Home and Museum.
Presidential Museum.
Yeah. So that's like just a bit of the background of this interesting story about the fact that James Polk has been exhumed and moved a couple of times since his death.
Yes. This short stuff just got interesting.
Even though this article, I'm sure you noticed, did not say anything about his death or where he was buried.
There's clearly a paragraph or two missing.
I think so.
I went back and I was like, is it under this ad? Like, what's going on here?
I did the same thing.
But nope, it's not there. So basically, James Polk, he became the 11th president of the United States after John Tyler, who was the first president not elected, I believe, to become president. He succeeded William Henry Harrison, who died after a month. You know that famous Simpsons song, "There's William Henry Harrison. I died in 30 days."
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened, and John Tyler succeeded him. Well, James Polk soundly beat Tyler, and he beat him basically saying, like, look, I've got some campaign promises mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of these things in one term, and then I'm going to go.
And I'm young, and no one's ever elected a president this young.
No, I think he was 49 when he was elected or something like that. So at the time, he was definitely the youngest.
For sure.
Although you'd think in, like, the 1840s or 1850s, that was, like, old school, but I guess not. But he was elected, and he did what he said he was going to do. He established the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
He oversaw the very first U.S. postal stamp created.
Yeah, he was like, you know what we need? Stamps.
Right. And everyone's like, what's that? And he's like, just watch, everybody.
Yeah.
And then he signed into law the Smithsonian, which makes me a big fan of him.
Sure.
He also did something pretty big. He established the independent treasury system, which was the predecessor, Chuck, to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, huge.
And at the time, you might think, well, Federal Reserve, you know, boo or yay or whatever, however you feel about it. It was very much needed at the time because back then, state-owned or private banks would routinely just not trade you gold and silver for the paper that you came to trade back in. They would say, we don't have it, sorry. And this would cause panics over and over again. So they set up a bank to the banks, the independent treasury system. And that was a big one that he did because it took a lot of political clout to overwhelm the state's interests at the time who were run by these influential bankers who didn't want a federal system above them. So those were some big ones. He also started the Mexican-American War, which is definitely a mark against him.
That's right. But he got a lot happened in those 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, true to his word, he said, 4 years, I'm out, and went back to Tennessee. And then I think let's take a break now And then we'll talk about how he died and started bouncing around after that.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
You've been looking for me, yeah?
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
These are the tales that shaped the nation.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
Then I told them they were drinking cyanide.
Featuring the voices of Wes Studi.
At least 4,000 people died on the trail.
Martin Starr.
President Nixon called me the most dangerous man in America.
Scott Hayes.
Next thing I know, I'm standing over the bodies of Baker Morton. My pistol smoking in my hand.
And Tristan Mack Wilds.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Starring Dan Fogler as the ferryman.
This is The Passage.
Listen to The Passage now. On the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Polk died of what they think now is cholera. He got sick. They kind of denied it was cholera, but he was surrounded by people with cholera.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, no, you don't have cholera. And he was like, I'm pretty sure I have cholera because everyone around me has cholera. And they said, no, it's not cholera.
Not you, James.
But I think he died of that's kind of widely believed to be his cause of death today.
Well, the first place he was interred was the Nashville City Cemetery. With the cholera victims.
Yeah, it was a legal thing. It wasn't called the Nashville City Cemetery back then, but the way I saw it, it was basically like if you died from infectious disease, you had to be buried there.
Yeah, as close to the groundwater as possible.
Yeah.
So that's the first place that he's buried. We need like a ding or something here because he's been interred one time.
I think Jerry could manage a ding.
Let's hope, Jerry. So he's buried there in, the Nashville City Cemetery, like a common cholera victim. And somebody said, whoa, this is no place for a beloved president to be buried. We need to show some respect and also more closely follow the wishes of his
yeah.
will. Yeah, because he said that he wanted to be buried at Polk Place, which was his mansion where he and his wife lived. And they moved him there. They actually built him like a pretty sweet little memorial in the front yard. You can see drawings of it. And it's
yeah.
like, there's the house, there's the memorial, like right there in this little front yard. It was pretty cute.
Yeah. And his wife, Sarah.
Thank you.
For
remembering her name.
Oh, okay.
I was like frantically searching for it and couldn't find it.
Yeah. His wife, Sarah, I guess, you know, she was like, well, let me just live for another, I don't know, 42 years. I read that and I was like, is that a misprint?
No. It but could it be in this article, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly. According to this article, he never died.
He's right behind you.
So oh my God. So yeah, she lived another 42 years, which is outstanding, great, great long life. And once she finally died, there was a bit of an argument over the ownership of Polk Place and kind of like where they should be ultimately in their whatever what they thought was their final resting place, but what everyone else was like, but where should their real final resting place be?
Right. Well, I think they would technically be there, but he in his will had left the stipulation that the state of Tennessee could take Polk Place and own it as long as a Polk would be allowed to live there forever.
Right.
And Tennessee said that's an in perpetuity, which is illegal. So this clause, this part of your will, is null and void, which left it open to his heirs to do what they wished with this place, which was turn around and sell it to a developer. Because he didn't have any children. These were all relatives who didn't give a spit about what happened to this to his beloved home.
Yeah, I can't believe that was sold by developers in 1900 and they demolished it.
They demolished it. And this was like this, Tennessee was thinking of turning this into the governor's mansion and preserving this. And they said, nope, get rid of it. So they actually disinterred him. So the state of Tennessee disinterred he and Sarah and moved their remains to the state capitol. And you'd think, okay, that would be the end of the story. The guy's been buried two times now. Mm-hmm. No, one, two, three times. He's been buried three times. Let him rest in peace, right? But it's not.
Oh, wait, buried?
Buried.
And then, was it three times?
Yeah, he was buried in the city cemetery.
Oh, moved twice.
Buried, yeah, right. I know, it kind of confounded me, too. It's like trying to understand economics.
Yeah, that's the old saying. Buried, oh, never mind.
Buried thrice, but moved only twice.
That's it.
Okay.
So, they, like you said, they moved into the Capitol and... you know, a place of great reverence and respect where people can go see, although he is sort of in the shadow of these two. He doesn't have the kind of monuments that Jackson and Johnson have.
No, and that's why there's some people in the Tennessee state government, specifically a guy named, what's that state senator's
Joey
name?
Hensley.
Joey Hensley. Which is number one, not a senator's name, if you ask me. And number two, not a Tennessee senator's name, but there you have it.
Joey Hensley, eh?
Right, exactly. I could see him on, like, Jersey Shore or something like that. He's, like, bright orange, and his hair stands up, like, a mile high. Anyway, Senator Joey Hensley is like, look, man, I have been up here for 14 years working in the Tennessee legislature, and I can tell you James Polk is not getting his reverence.
Yeah.
People don't know he's buried there. They barely mention him on the tour. He's literally in the shadows of Jackson and Johnson statues, like you said. We got to do something better. Let's move this guy to his presidential library at his father's house in Columbia, Tennessee.
Yeah, this was a couple of years ago in 2017, and a lot of hoops have to be jumped through to move a dead president's body, believe it or not.
Right.
It did pass the state Senate in March 2017. Which was just, you know, like kind of like the first stop to getting this done.
Mm-hmm.
The governor has to approve it. The House has to approve it. A local judge. And then most importantly, in this case, the Tennessee Historical Commission has to approve it. And that's the one that said, no, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah. And his family is kind of divided about it. Some people are like, yeah, of course, this would be a great place for him. It's his presidential library.
And other people are like, who?
Right. But then I didn't understand why anybody would be opposed to moving him if he's not getting his due in the Capitol. But the opposition's position seems to be that he wanted to be buried at Polk Place in Nashville.
So at least Polk it's closer to that.
Right. Polk Place isn't around anymore, so he's still buried in Nashville and at the Capitol.
Yeah, I get that.
So I saw also in 2018 the issue was brought back up again, and it got voted down by one vote by the state Senate this time. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's going anywhere. So, you know, if you're ever in Nashville— go eat some hot chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go cut a record at Jack White's little recording booth.
Don't forget to pick up a Moldorama while you're there.
Pick up a Moldorama and go, if you want to, pay your respects to James Polk.
Short stuff. Out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.